So, chapter 9, verse number 24. Aham hi sarva yajnanam
अहम् हि सर्वयज्ञानां
भोक्ता च प्रभुरेव
भोक्ता च
न तु मामभिजानन्ति
अभिजानन्ति
तत्त्वे नातश्च्यवन्ति ते।
तत्त्वे नातश्चयन्ति ते।
ओके, टुगेदर कुसुम कैन प्लीज म्यूट। अहम हि सर्वयज्ञानां भोक्ता च प्रभुरेव च न तु मामभिजानन्ति तत्त्वे नातश्चवन्ति ते। सो अहम, सो अगेन व्हेन भगवान श्री कृष्णा यूज अहम और आई, व्हाट ही मीन्स, आई दैट सुप्रीम रियलिटी हु हैज अपियर्ड इन द फॉर्म ऑफ श्री कृष्णा। सो अहम ही इज अ वर्ड विच मीन्स इंडीड, सर्टनली। इट इज व्हेन ही वांट्स टू से सर्टेन वेरी स्ट्रांगली दैट दिस अलोन इज द ट्रूथ। सो आई अलोन एम व्हाट, सर्व यज्ञानाम, ऑफ ऑल यज्ञस। विल टॉक अबाउट यज्ञस, देर आर टू मीनिंग्स। सो भगवान सेज आई एम ऑफ ऑल द यज्ञस भोक्ता, आई एम द एंजॉयर च प्रभु एव च, एंड आई एम द लॉर्ड, आई एम द एंजॉयर एंड आई एम द लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल यज्ञस। एंड न तु, बट न तु मीन्स, तु मीन्स बट, बट द न माम अभिजानन्ति, दोज हु न माम अभिजानन्ति, दोज हु डू नॉट नो मी इन दिस वे तत्वेन, डू नॉट नो माई एसेंस, डू नॉट नो माई ट्रू नेचर, अतः देन हेंस च्यवन्ति ते, दे पेरिश। सो वट ही सेज, आई एम दी एंजॉयर ऑफ ऑल यज्ञस, आई एम द लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल यज्ञस, एवरीथिंग दैट यू ऑफर कम्स टू मी, बट दोज हु डू नॉट नो मी इन दिस वे एंड डू नॉट नो माई एसेंस, माई ट्रू नेचर, दे पेरिश। वेरी स्ट्रांग वर्ड्स भगवान श्री कृष्ण यूजेज। वट ही सेज इज, वेन ही सेज आई मीन्स आई दैट सुप्रीम रियालिटी इज द enjoyer of all yagnas. What do we mean by yagna? So yagna, that in the traditional way, as was in the Vedic times and even now, yagna means the fire offering. You know, when you call a priest, you call a panditji to your house, or and then you have in the, you know, you put those bricks and then he lights the fire and then we offer things in the fire and the priest, the Panditji, is chanting mantras. And it's done for a specific purpose. You know, you may do it when you're starting a new building, getting a new job, or, you know, if your son is going away to college, or, you know, for the wedding time, we do the yajnas where the couple is blessed. So that is one meaning of yajna. And Arjuna was growing in the Vedic times, growing up in the Vedic times, and so he used to see yajnas constantly. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, any yajna, when you make an offering to God, and fire is said to be the FedEx. So when you offer into the fire carries our prayers to the higher gods and to whichever god. If you are invoking Sri Ganesha or Lord Shiva, say somebody is sick, and you're doing a mantra, Om Trayambakam Yajamahe, O Lord Shiva, please bless this individual so that person may get well. So whatever devata you are invoking, it says the fire carries your mantras, your prayers to that devata. But ultimately, Bhagwan says, it is through the devata, it is that one consciousness, aham, that one supreme reality, who is invoked in all prayers, in all yajnas. When you offer in the yajna the prayers, they ultimately go to that supreme reality, which Bhagwan says as I. But yagna also means that when the community gets together and does an activity for the benefit of all, where it's not done for me or him or her, but it is done for the benefit of all, where we each sink our individual differences, that's what is described in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That is also called a yajna, where we all sink our individual differences and get together and do a project that is beneficial to the entire community. So it's like when we community gets together, say if there has been a flood or an earthquake or some major catastrophe, how the whole country gets together, not only the whole country, but the United Nations and everybody gets together to raise funds and to bring, the Red Cross and everything. So yajna is when we work together for the benefit of all, not for the benefit of one, but for the benefit of all. So Bhagavan says that also are come to me. Any activity where you do, where you sink your little ego and work for the benefit of all, that also comes to me. I am behind that. When these kind of activities are going on, unselfish activities, they all reach me, and I am the one who enjoys, and I am the one who is the Lord. I am the one who blesses all of these. So we look at God as Kriya Pradhan. So what do we mean by Kriya Pradhan? So we go to Lakshmi ji, oh please give me wealth. We go to Ganesh ji, oh please remove my obstacles. And so we go to different gods and ask for different things. So that is called Kriya Pradhan, that we think that God can only do this. Ganesh ji can remove my obstacles, but if somebody is sick, I need to go to Lord Shiva. And then if I need, so we think God is Kriya Pradhan. That means he only does the limited things. This alone. So if we want to worship Lord Indra, you worship Lord Indra, but then God says that, okay, when I come, I will bless you as Lord Indra, and Lord Indra has limited powers. Or we say the sun, I worship the sun. It is very good, but you have to understand that when I am chanting the Gayatri mantra, I am not worshipping only the sun god, but I am worshipping the reality that is giving power. So God is not Kriya Pradhan, it is Karana Pradhan. Karana means the cause. So God is the cause of everything. Whatever is happening, there is only one cause, and that's why the planets are all maintained in place, and all the stars and everything is happening. And when you put a mango seed, mango comes out. If you put a mango seed, a bitter lemon won't come out, or a Karela is not going to come out. What we put, you get. So the one who is the Karma Phala Data, who gives us the results of all, is that one supreme reality, and we can call him by different names, we can worship him differently. But that is the self of all, not only the self of us, but the self of all these forms that we see, whether it's Sri Ganesha, Krishna, Ram, whatever, they are all one entity. And see, they don't have any problem. It is you and I, we have problems. And that's why when we go to a temple and we see different forms, we say, you know what? I have to pray to everyone. If I pray to Ganesha and don't pray to Lord Shiva, Shiva will get angry. Or if I pray to Shiva. So we have this funny idea that these are separate, and that I have, for a pujari, of course, he has to offer aarti. But for you and me, if you want to worship all and bow to all, that's fine, knowing they are one. Or if you have a particular form you like, just go there and do your prayers and come back. There is no problem. They don't have any problem because all those forms are one. But we think that, last week I started from the right side doing aarti. Today I should start from left side so that I don't miss it. So all these wrong ideas we have, because what happens is that the different followers of different faiths, they say, you must only worship this form and not that form. And so the people become fanatical, people become, violent, people become angry. And in fact, there was a time when people, followers of Vishnu, they said, oh, Vishnu will be happy if we say bad things about Shiva. And Shiva worshippers used to say, so all this stupid understanding, that's what Bhagavan says, avidhi purvakam, in wrong method, you have not understood what is my essence. And that alone is important. So there's a very beautiful story I heard. So there was this young man who grew up in Boston, Harvard graduate, brilliant young man, very intelligent, and he somehow was spiritually inclined. He grew up, in a Christian home in Boston, and he said, "I need something more than what, these teachings offered me, the church can give me." He was not, not, and in those days people didn't know about Vedanta. No, Vedanta had not come to the West. Only Swami Vivekananda had come in 1892, and people at that time didn't have. So he said, "Where can I find more knowledge?" So he started researching books. They had no internet. This was in the late 40s, right after the Second World War. And he started reading books and newspapers and materials and talking to people. And somehow he met an Indian who had come from Bengal. And he said, "You know, if you're looking for something, my guru is in so and so place in Bengal. I will write to him. You go see my guru there." So somehow this young man, takes a ship and goes, reaches Bengal, Calcutta. And he finds this guru, and the guru had received a letter. He very warmly receives him, and he says, "You're welcome to stay in my ashram." And so there was a Shiva temple, and so this young man is stays for 12 years. They say you need 12 years of study to progress spiritually, just as also you need 12 years to graduate from high school, and then another 12 years in order to do undergraduate, postgraduate. So that is so. He stays for 12 years. And every day he's meditating and he's chanting Om Namah Shivaya, and the mantra has been given to him by his teacher. He's learning from the teacher every day, working in the ashram, wearing orange clothes. He becomes, a monk. And every day he's meditating sincerely, morning and night, and he's spending so much time. And then one day, after 12 years, when he has been meditating, suddenly he sees a vision of God. And whom does he see? Jesus Christ. And he says, "I'm sitting in this Shiva temple chanting Om Namah Shivaya, and taught to me by a Hindu guru." But so the point of this is that it doesn't matter which form of God, they all are one. And also, this story tells us, and the masters tell us, that don't just get attached to the form, because the form has to take you to the formless. Where, as long as you are experiencing a form, it's wonderful. You are seeing God in front of you, but that is still a duality, me and God. God is there and I am here. And that is good. That is a great progress in spirituality. But ultimate understanding is that God is me, my higher nature, not me as Anil or Kusum or Rajiv, but me as this consciousness, that my higher nature is that. So that is called Advaita, where there are no two. God and I are one. So that is the understanding that we get from this story, that it doesn't matter which form of God, it is the sincerity of devotion that matters. That's what Gurudev says, that it is the sincerity with which you worship that is more important rather than which form. And when Bhagavan Shri Krishna says in the fourth chapter, Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Yo Me Veti Tatvatah, here also he says Tatvatah Tantvena. So what he means is the essence. So do not focus only on the form, but go to the formless, go to the substratum, the essence. And Gurudev, again in this commentary, he says that people who, as we said, get things from yajnas, getting things from others or from together, whenever there is success in any field, whenever there is any glory, they say all glory is God's, all. That's what, even when you go to any, even you go to the church, that is one of the famous lines, "Oh, may glory be to God," which is true. All glories go to him or her or that consciousness. I am just a humble instrument. And the truth of everything, the essence, the tattva of everything is that. But if we become extrovert and think that the world alone is giving me what I have, then chavantite, they perish. What do they mean by perish? Does not mean that they die. What it means, they do not reach their goal. If your goal is spirituality, you have to worship the substratum, the essence. And even in the world, when you have success, if you take the credit yourself, you develop an ego, you become very egocentric, you become very arrogant, and you say, I alone am doing it, who needs God, I don't need God, God is not doing anything, I can do it, I. So when I and my come, then that is where such person perish, chavantite, because then they become egoistic, then they become arrogant, then they don't think anybody else in the world is important, anything else is contributing, I alone am doing it. So always being grateful to God and recognizing God's presence in every activity. The fact that I am able to lift the finger is because God is in me. Otherwise, I won't even be able to lift a finger or speak a single word. So constantly remembering. So that what Bhagavan says, I am the Lord of all activities, and all activities come to me. And one who knows me is the one who is successful, who is progressing, and the one who does not know me as that will perish, will become unsuccessful. Or even if he gets success, it will not be true success. And what is this true success? We'll talk in the next verse, number 25.